Hello, faithful friends. Welcome back. I'm your host, Amanda Jones. This is He Called Me Faithful. Today is a fun day because I have my first ever podcast guest, and it is none other than my own daughter, Ruth Holly Jones, who is 6 years old. Welcome, Ruth.
My name is Ruth, and I'm here to share about my baptism.
So, we haven't really planned it. I didn't brief her on any questions or anything. But, yeah, the only thing I told her is that we were going to talk about her baptism. So she actually chose to get baptized when she was 5 years old. So it's been about a year and a half now. So the backstory to it, we hadn't ever really talked about baptism with Ruth yet because she had just turned five when she first felt this on her heart. And maybe you share about that. So the first moment when you wanted to get baptized.
The first time I saw people got baptized, I was like, I want to get baptized. And the reason I wanted to was because I didn't want sin to be able to get in me like fully. Like ever, like never even when I grow up or I decide to not. So I didn't want to decide that, so I did an early one, and
so it was right around her birthday. She had seen people get baptized before just through different groups we're a part of in church and like outreach things we've done where people have gotten baptized. But we had never really talked to her about it. She'd seen it in the Bible and things like that as well. She knew it was a biblical thing. But because she was young, we hadn't thought too much about it. But then, so that happened for her, and she asked to be baptized. So I told her to let Mommy and Daddy pray about it. And it was a few months later, I was like, we'll just wait and we'll see if God puts it on her heart again. And a few months later, she mentioned it again. And also, our pastor that day at the church we're at actually said, I don't know if he used the verse, like, let the little children come to me when Jesus says that, but he did. He was talking about not hindering a child. Like, if a child wants to do something or step forward in their faith in a certain way and you trust that it's from the Holy Spirit, like, as a parent, not to hinder that, not to get in the way. There's also another verse in the Bible that says, do not quench the Spirit. So I think we were just balancing those two things. Like, yes, she's young, but also this was on her heart and something she wanted to do. So she had brought it up a few times over those couple months. And then we told her she could when she brought it up again. She brought it up again a few months later and said, Mommy and Daddy, I want to get baptized. Yeah, go for it. Yeah. You can just say. Say it out loud.
And also, when I got baptized, I got to go with my Nana. And before that, she turned into a Christian. And then after that, that's when she got baptized.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah. So, when we, after we made the decision to get Ruth baptized, and she was on the list going to get baptized, like, the next Sunday at the church we're at, and we let her Nana know to see if she wanted to come up, her Nana and her Papa, to see if they wanted to come support her. And her Nana had actually just fully given her life to Jesus the year prior and had actually had baptism on her heart and wanted to get baptized as well. So she was quiet when we told her, and I was like, oh, maybe she can't make it. But then, she just asked if she could get baptized with Ruthie because it would be so special for them to do it together. So that was really, really awesome. So she came up and got baptized that same weekend, which was really fun.
Can I do some stuff?
Yeah.
And also, at the end, all my friends gave me a big party. Some of them one of them gave me this really cool bracelet, and my Nana gave me this really pretty necklace.
Yeah, and maybe you can share about how you felt. I don't know if you remember what you told me at the time, but do you remember how you felt when you got baptized?
I felt like I didn't feel like heavy anymore.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I felt heavy in my life, but after that, like, I almost never felt heavy again, so.
So beautiful. Hey, sometimes baptism seems like just a symbol, but there really is so much that goes on spiritually. I believe when you step out in obedience and do a believer's baptism like that. So it was just so beautiful to hear from her that she actually felt different and felt lighter. So yeah, super beautiful. That's super awesome. And yeah, we're just proud of our Ruthie girl. Her and Nehemiah and Kaya all were around 2 years old when they accepted Jesus into their heart. Again, all their own initiation, just through conversations and stuff, they just asked, like, oh, I want Jesus in my heart, like, pretty much as soon as they could talk, like, that's around the time when you can talk. And I was like, yeah, like, ask him into your heart. So they've all done that. And then, yeah, Ruth, yeah, got baptized a year and a half ago. So that was super awesome. Yeah, go for it.
And Mimo, about when he was four, about 5 times he said it, because he forgot that he said it already. So he said it 5 times.
Which is awesome. You can never ask Jesus into your heart too many times. He doesn't leave, but it's still beautiful to, yeah, just have that posture of just wanting more. So that's really awesome. So yeah, we've just had a fun time with Ruthie and her journey. And we do a lot of worship in our house. And Ruthie's actually really gifted at making up songs about Jesus. She's made up a lot of songs about him. I should have maybe prepared this and she could have maybe sung one for you guys, but we can do that another time. Yeah. But yeah, it's just this overflow she has in her heart just for worship and Jesus and dance, which is so fun. So that's really awesome too. She also often has...
It's never too late to ask me to do it, right?
Yeah, do you want to do one? You want to make up a song?
At the end?
Okay. I forgot what I was saying now. Oh yeah, dreams. Yeah, she also often has kind of prophetic dreams too, and sometimes I think our dreams can often sometimes be warnings, even when it's something like heavy and spiritual. So with Halloween and everything coming up, the world really makes like ghosts and death and witches and these actual kind of evil things look enticing and fun and have these big doughy fun eyes and candy and all this stuff.
Yeah. Saying this, can I tell about that dream I had
about
the ghost?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. Hey, so just 2 nights ago, actually, Ruth had a dream about this, because this is the first year we're actually not going to be doing trick-or-treating and stuff. I felt kind of convicted about it the last 2 years, just this pull of, yes, it's community. Yes, we get to say hi to our neighbors. But also when we have gone out, I mean, the kids are young too. So they notice all the evil. They see all the scary costumes. The majority of people do dress in scary, like kind of dead costumes and things like that. And also with the neighbors factor, there's so many kids going around. We don't actually get a chance to talk to the neighbors. It's just you go and get your candy and keep going. So that it is a new thing for us to navigate this year, and the kids are a little bit sad. We're still gonna do stuff with candy, we're still gonna do costumes, we're just navigating how we're gonna go about all that. But so we've had a lot of these conversations, and then Ruth had this dream, so I'll let her share about that.
But first I wanted to say something.
Sure, please. Go for it.
But before I say that, I wanted to say something. And also, Mom told me every Halloween, when Kaya goes out with us, after that, she feels, like, so scared. She's so scared every time we go trick-or-treating. So that's another reason.
Yeah, you're so right. Hey, so, yeah, would you like to share about your dream now that you had 2 nights ago? And then we can talk about what we kind of analyzed that it all meant.
Yes. So my friends were all at my house. It was nighttime. Then a ghost walked in, and we were scared at first, but then a ghost played hide and seek, and he won every time because he blended in. And it was so fun. And then a zombie came down, and again, at first we were scared, but then we got spatulas and made, like, the faces of, like, that monster. But then Frankenstein. And then after that, in my dream, I go to bed again after that. And then this time it was different. Since in real life, in the dream, a ghost walked in and, like, the Frankenstein walked in. At first, that happened in the dream I had in my dream, but actually it turned out different this time. at first the ghost did what he usually does, spooks the children away, and then the Frankenstein came down and like eated me. So
yeah. And it turned very scary. She actually came into our room that night and told me she had a nightmare. So yeah, there was more to the scary part as well. But yeah, it was just, we talked about it afterwards, and what did we realize through that dream?
We realized,
what was God showing you?
We realized that, like, this is how, like, sin can take over. At first, the sin shows it's playful and fun, but then that's when the darkness comes in and snatches it all away.
Yeah, and then we get held in bondage and get stuck in patterns. Yeah, sin always looks just fun and lighthearted, or even light sins, for lack of a better term. You're like, oh, it's not a big deal, or everyone else is doing it, or even other Christians are doing it, things like that as well. But that's how then it becomes a slow fade, and that's how the enemy gets that foothold and gets in there, and then you start, like a lot of people end up either, yeah, slowly into addiction or depression or isolation or just any kind of bondage. These things happen so subtly. The enemy is sneaky, and he knows what our weaknesses are and what we're willing to compromise on. So as Christians, our goal is holiness and to actually not compromise on anything, really, to be in the world but not of it. So that is something that we are navigating as we continue forward. And yeah, we'll probably do another episode closer to actual Halloween, just about the history of it and everything. Because I feel like a lot of people actually haven't looked up a lot of the history, and there's good parts of the history and there's bad parts of the history. But the main thing, I think, for me is just the amount of darkness that there is today around that night. Also, just the knowledge that there are so many Satanist groups that do meet, especially on that night, because a lot of these groups believe that that is the night when, like, people who have passed away, are their souls, because they believe their souls are just circling around. That's when they believe that their souls are closest to Earth. So that's when a lot of these, like, evil rituals happen, and witchcraft and just occult stuff. Just calling to these spirits for either conversation or blessing, for lack of a better term, and all of these things. So there's just so much evil that's done that night. There are a lot of sacrifices done, because with witchcraft and anything evil, you don't just get whatever it's promising you. You have to give something. It's always a transaction. And a lot of people don't always realize that when they're starting into witchcraft and stuff as well. But there's always a part of you you're actually giving. It's a transaction. So yeah, there's just so much evil that goes on, and a lot of sacrifice, some a lot intentional and some unintentional for people. But so it's just something we want to be aware of and actually pray against, especially on that night. To just pray for protection, and just pray like that the plans of the enemy will not prosper, so that when they do try and call to these things or these demonic stuff, that it actually won't prosper. So yeah, that's something that we're navigating, how we're going to do that this year too, incorporate more prayer into the night as well, and just intercession prayer. Just yeah, protection over the innocent as well, and protection over our kids, because again, childhood is when a lot of these things start to creep in, because even as Ruth was saying in her dream, like, it can just seem fun. Like, oh, it's just fun. We're just being playful. We're just playing with ghosts and witches. And then when you're older, oh, it's fun. We're just doing a Ouija board for fun. Like, we're just going to see what happens. Oh, we're just doing tarot cards for fun. Like, who knows? It's innocent. All these things that we see as innocent, then the enemy actually gets a foothold and ends up actually dragging us into a lot of darkness and a lot of bondage. And it can be really hard to get out of if you don't know Jesus and aren't walking with him, and he hasn't set you free of that kind of stuff, which obviously he can do in a moment, which is beautiful and awesome. But a lot of people are just stuck in this bondage, and we just don't want to promote that. We don't want to add to the evil. We want to add to the light and the good and the breaking of these things, and we want to stop normalizing evil. Evil is so normalized, especially again in childhood shows and stuff too, and we just want to stop normalizing it. So that's part of the reason we're not going to participate in those ways either. Ruth, is there anything else you would like to share just about Jesus or even the gospel, actually? Would you? So Ruth has shared the three circles before, too.
Yes.
Which is a gospel sharing tool that E3 uses and Disciple City and a bunch of other organizations that we're involved with. It's super awesome for outreach. And Ruth actually shared it with over 200 youth a few months ago at a youth conference, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, so go for it. Would you like to share it?
Sure. So God made us live in this perfect world. And then we think that we could be God. So then we go in this demoned world. And then we, like, think that we can try to be God. But then what happened is you actually feel sad. You feel angry. And the only way to get out is prayer. So, yes. And then God died on the cross for our sins, which we are so glad for. And now we can be back in our graceful world. But now that happened, there's still sin in our world. So we still try and control from everything. We still try and keep God in us and not let evil, try and hurt us or anything. So yes.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we wanted to be our own gods. So then we kind of brought sin into the world and brought on the broken world that we live into today, which most people would agree this world is very broken and there's so much suffering and evil. But yeah, when we repent, which means turning to Jesus and make him king of our lives, then we can be restored back to that perfect relationship with God, our creator, and set free from all the things in this world that bind us. And the reason we can do that is because Jesus lived a perfect life. He came down to earth. He lived a perfect life. His walk was blameless. Did I get too deep into it? No, you did great. I'm just adding some filler parts. Yeah. See? And then he died on the cross. And then 3 days later,
he rose from the dead.
Yeah, which meant he defeated
sin, evil, and hell.
Yep, and death. Yep, that's awesome. So good. So yeah, that is the three circle gospel message, which is awesome. Yeah, and yeah, did you? Yeah, go for it.
Can I share the dream about God giving me that, giving me the look of my room in heaven?
Yeah, that's a really fun one. Yeah, this is actually a really fun one. So I'll let you share it, don't worry. I'm just giving a preface for it. So we were just chatting about heaven. This was a few months ago, and yeah, just about the beauty of it. Nehemiah was scared to go to heaven, which I relate to. I had those feelings as a kid sometimes too, because I thought in heaven you just sit on the clouds and sing all day, and I was just like, okay, I don't really want to do that. But so Nehemiah as well, he was scared to go to heaven, and we were like, why don't you want to go to heaven, buddy? And he was sad because he wouldn't have his room anymore, his bedroom with his stuff and his toys. So I just shared how in the Bible it says that God is actually preparing a room for us in heaven, that he has a mansion with many rooms, and he's actually preparing a place for us. So I was just sharing with the kids that he knows their favorite colors, their interests, he's the one who made them. He knows what they love. So,
and guaranteed, he knows more than you know about you.
Yeah, so guaranteed your room in heaven is going to be the best thing ever and better than you could ever ask, pray for, or imagine. So yeah, go ahead, Ruth. So then Ruth had a dream after that.
And this is what happened in the dream. God showed me my room in heaven. At first he brought me, when I go up, it looks like an elevator when I was going up to heaven. And then when I go up, he took my hand and brought me to my room. And then I had this sparkly golden white bed, which are my two favorite colors, and yellow. So in my closet, I had every single of my clothes were white. And yes, and my books were all about Jesus. And I had this treasure chest in my room. Do you remember
what was in it that I said? Yeah, you said the treasure chest in her room was full of everything gold. So there was like gold crowns and jewelry. What else?
There was also like, you know, nuggets, like just nuggets.
Things. Yeah, like gold nuggets.
Yes, gold nuggets. There's also gold nuggets in it. And also, in there was a list of stuff, and I don't know how big it was. I don't even know. And there was this whole other one. I don't even know how big it was. And it was for the desserts. And we get room service. And outside, so the trees, well, the stems were white, and the leaves, they were yellow, and the sky was filled with sparklies, and also Jesus was holding hands, the three Jesuses, Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, which they see as one, we're all holding hands in the sky with the glittery background. And yes, and the clouds were made of cotton candy. And also I didn't tell you this part, but he showed me some of the adults' rooms, and it's going to be everything they wanted. No mess, no loudness, and most of all, peace. And also, God was walking with me outside of my room. And also, I may not have told you this part, Mom, but he gave me this wonderful dream, and it was a hollow tree, and it had all these pictures of all the times when I was a kid on it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, and one more thing. My bed was floating, and there was only stairs to get up to my bed.
So cool. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, I think
we're gonna close it out there.
I'll see if Ruth has anything else she wanted to share about Jesus first, and then also we'll see if she wanted to sing a song. So she kind of makes them up on the spot, so we will see.
God bless you, and now I will sing my song. Let me sing what generation. Our home, our creator in the song of Jesus. On the song of Jesus, may Holy God walk with you in your freedom. You were in prison, he has taken you out. He has made you a queen, and that's all. But now there's more to it than that. He's made you his daughters and sons. Oh, Jesus. We are queens and kings. And you are helping us through our life. When it's the ups and downs, you take us home, you make us a room, you give us a song, you give us our home, you give us our daily bread this day. On the road, you are with us in the country. You are with us wherever you go. God will be with. Over the mountains, over the hills, over the trees that you will climb. Jesus says you are walking on holy ground. So take off your shoes and worship Him the Almighty God. Him the Almighty God. He will bless you.
Yay! Beautiful. Thank you, Ruthie. So yeah, I hope you guys are blessed by that, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may he give you peace. Bye. You want to say bye?
Bye.